sermon. We're going to talk today about the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, for about the past 8 weeks, we've been talking about our prayer life. What we learned about our prayer relationship with God, it was not designed for you to have your needs met. That's not why God designed prayer. God designed prayer to develop a relationship with you. That's why we have it. He wants to give us the ability to get to know Him as not only as our Savior, but as our Lord. As a matter of fact, prayer was always based on relationship. Just read through the Bible. That's what prayer was. It was literally communication between God and man. Now, we're blessed, though, to be part of the Assemblies of God. That's the denomination that we as a congregation are part of. And not only us, but many other denominations have learned to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, I can't spend weeks talking about communication with God without talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. Matter of fact, if I didn't do that, you would be missing out on a vital aspect of your relationship that not only gives you the ability, but the power to enhance your relationship with God. So what I want to do this morning is really just talk about the Holy Spirit. I had planned on having a couple sermons on the Holy Spirit. Now, it just means that I'm going to have to do them later in this year, so you'll be prepared for them. This is just kind of, I want to introduce you. I want to give you an understanding on who the Holy Spirit is, and I guess you'd say what His role is in our life. Because what I believe is many in the church today are missing out on a power source. That's literally what it is. It's a power source that would give them what you need in order to be able to follow Jesus and to accomplish His purpose and plan in your life. Now, wow. Maybe that was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, we invited Him here, so, you know. But what I want to do, though, is like, for example, probably about a month ago now. It was 1:30 in the morning, and I got woken up by this really loud noise. Literally, I literally sat up in bed because what I quickly found out was every single one of my fire alarms inside my house is going off. Now, I quickly look around and my power's out too. So, all right, I'm jumping into action. I literally leaped out of bed, I grabbed a flashlight, I grabbed my fire extinguisher, and I literally went and found every single one of my family members and got them downstairs in front of the front door. Then what I did is I literally started going room by room through the entire house. I started in the basement, worked my way to the main floor, went to the upstairs. I even got a ladder and crawled up into the attic. My job was to find out, was there any evidence of fire happening in the house? Or at least something, you know, that would at least make me feel comfortable that, all right, this was a false alarm. So I even got the fire department come. He literally did a once-over through the whole entire house and gave us the clear sign. It's like, nope, it was fine. You can go back to bed. So my family is about like 2:50 now in the morning. They all went back to bed to try to get some sleep. I tried. I went back to bed, and honestly, I couldn't do it. I tried to fall asleep, but I mean, my mind is just going a mile a minute. It's literally racing all over the place. And so what did I do? I just started praying. I started praying and just kind of talking to God about life. And that's kind of when He poked me and says, now I want you to talk about the power source that people have inside of their life. I want you to talk about the Holy Spirit. See, because I believe that too many people go through life without an active Holy Spirit inside of them. And you know what the worst thing is? It's not that the fact that they don't have it. It's the fact that they don't even miss it. They don't even know what they could have inside of them. Matter of fact, I've learned that many people in life, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, they're just trying to survive. Matter of fact, they're walking around with a flashlight and a fire extinguisher, and they're literally just trying to get through life. But what they don't understand is God has a plan to give you more. God has a plan to give you a power source that has the ability to transform how you live your life. It should transform you to the point where you can literally walk through life with almost an explosive power inside you that allows you to accomplish the purpose that God has for us. Now, the interesting thing I learned, the reason why my fire alarms went off, one of them had a dead battery in it, and they're all wired together. So when that lost its power source and the power went out in the house, its fail-safe is to have all the fire alarms go off because it wants to make sure if one of them was ever disabled, you would never be caught unaware. Now, personally, I would have preferred maybe a note in the morning, you know, just kindly, sir, please change the batteries inside your fire alarms. But look, I can tell you it left an impression that will never, ever leave me. So let's start in the morning. Why don't you turn with me your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I want to start talking about when the Holy Spirit came, how it filled the place. This is good stuff. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to have the verses behind me, so if you don't want to turn to them, that's fine. But Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" The first thing I want to key in on is Jesus said, "I'm ordering you not to depart." What he's saying is the Holy Spirit was so important that I don't want you to do anything at all until you get it. I don't want you to go witness. I don't want you to go preach. I don't want you to go heal, teach. I don't want you to do one thing until you get this. He literally commanded them, don't leave. The interesting thing is, why Jerusalem, though? And I guarantee you the disciples were thinking this. Why Jerusalem? I mean, look, this was a city to them that was full of hatred, full of violence, full of persecution. Why would the fulfillment of the promise of God happen in Jerusalem? I mean, what just happened in Jerusalem? Jesus was murdered. He was literally killed on a cross. That happened in Jerusalem. Do you think they wanted to stay in Jerusalem? What happened to them in Jerusalem? When Jesus was on the cross, they ran. They were afraid. They ran for their own life. They felt the shame of basically saying, all right, either they denied him or at least they ran and hid. But this was where they were going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I actually find it kind of ironic, if you think about it. The one place where they were cowardly and weak, they were going to get something that was going to make them strong and courageous. I think that's just kind of cool. And I'm learning, though, that God sometimes will bring you back to those places. Has he ever brought you back to a place where, you know, you kind of felt weak? Maybe it was a place of shame. Maybe it was a place of weakness that caused you to realize just how strong God has been in your life. It's kind of cool how God does that. And the Holy Spirit was a promise from God the Father. This wasn't the first time the disciples had heard about this. Matter of fact, Jesus would often talk about a helper that he wanted to give them. Let me give you a couple places. You find that in Luke 24:49. You can write that down. Luke 24:49. And it says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." I'm going to give you one more in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. That's John 14, 16 and 17. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And you'll actually find many other places in the Gospels where Jesus would talk about the Holy Spirit coming in power to rest on them. Basically, he was saying is, you need this to be able to accomplish the purpose that I have for you. The interesting thing is, Jesus said, though, you had to wait. So some people wondered, why didn't Jesus just kind of, you know, lay hands on him right there and fill him up with the Holy Spirit? No, Jesus said, you got to wait. Didn't happen immediately. Patience was involved. And patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Kind of interesting, right? I mean, and what is fruit? Fruit is what? The product or the evidence, right, of something. Like, well, an apple tree. An apple tree proves it's an apple tree because what grows on it? Apples. If you walk up to a tree and there are pears on it, it's not an apple tree, is it? So they could tell you they're an apple tree, but if you see pears or bananas, they're not an apple tree. It also kind of made me wonder. I mean, we live in such a now society, right? Instant, give it to me now. It makes me wonder if Jesus were to tell the church today, go there and wait. Don't do anything, just go there and wait. Would we do it? Would all the disciples have stayed there on day 3, on day 5, and however many days it took? It makes me wonder. All right, verse 6. When they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what does it say here? You, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. Now, the word power here basically is talking about the help that you get from the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout the Bible, we see that kind of that power shown in many ways. We see it in the ability to speak in other tongues. We see it in the ability to preach the gospel with great results. We see it with the ability to endure great trials. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the endurance to make it through things in life. We see it in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Powerful examples of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to accomplish his purpose. We even see it in the fruit of the Spirit. There are many ways that the Holy Spirit manifests itself inside of us. But the interesting thing is the power really was not meant for us. It was meant to be shared. That's why we were given the power. Look, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purpose that God gave us, which is to what? To go, preach, make disciples. Now, I know I've kind of talked about this before, but it's kind of, I think, important for me to remind you of this. It's interesting that when Jesus talks about it, he says, we're called to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth, right? Now, he was not talking about those specific cities. This was a parallel to them. This was kind of his way of kind of teaching them how he wanted to send them out. First thing he mentions was Jerusalem. Where were they from? Jerusalem, their home. So Jesus was saying, first go to the people that are the closest to you. Go to your family, go to the friends, go to the people that you have the highest level of influence with. That only makes sense, doesn't it? You should try to reach those that you have the highest level of influence with first, right? And then he said, go to Judea. Now, what was Judea? Judea was basically the region or the state that Jerusalem was in. Now, so to us, that would be like Connecticut or New England. Now, what area would we have probably the most level of influence in? This area. Why? We've lived here. We understand the culture. We understand the people. Now, if we were to go to Alaska, would we have the same level of influence? No. We don't know that culture. We don't know how things are. Go down to, like, go to San Francisco. Very different. Go to Dallas. Very different than what we're used to. What he's saying then is, now reach the area that you have the next level of influence with. Now, the third place he listed, though, was Samaria. I can tell you this. It was a place they didn't want to go to. Matter of fact, I can almost guarantee you they were annoyed when it was mentioned to go to Samaria. Why? They didn't like the people there. Matter of fact, in their minds, these were sinners. These were bad people. These were people who were doing things wrong. These were people who believed parts of the Bible, but they kind of twisted it. They kind of made it kind of fit what they wanted to. They weren't doing things the right way. Have you met people who you think have kind of twisted some of the Bible, made the Bible kind of say different things? Well, Jesus is saying it's just as important to reach them as it is to reach anyone else. Jesus is saying you need to go to them. So you know what? When people who have different beliefs than you and you shut them out and you're not willing to talk to them, that's wrong. Jesus is saying, reach them. Look, there are some people with gender identity and different things that are going on in the world today, and you say, well, I don't understand them. I just don't get where they're coming from. Matter of fact, I want to protect my kids from them. Look, I get that, but they are sinners who need a Savior, and if you're not willing to reach them, then you're not doing what God said to do. He said to reach all of them. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So go, guess what? They are your responsibility too. And then he ends with the ends of the earth. So basically what he's saying is, wherever you end up, you preach the gospel. Even in places that you think, look, I don't know the culture, I don't know the people, I don't have no influence with them at all. Jesus is still saying, it's still your job. It's still your responsibility. Your job is to reach them. You could do it through missions, through giving, but you could just do it because these are people that need to hear the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? Look, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't move in other ways. He does. But I'm telling you, the primary reason that God sent the Holy Spirit, he said, is to be his witness. It's power to do that. That's why he sent it. Now let's kind of move forward. I want to go to Acts chapter 2, because let's look at literally when the day of Pentecost came. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Basically, what he's saying there was unity. Matter of fact, if you look at other versions of the Bible, it literally says they were all with one accord. Some versions read that way. There was an atmosphere of unity before the Holy Spirit came. There was peace. There was no contention. There was no fighting. They were of one mind and one faith. Now, does that mean they agreed with everything? No. Matter of fact, not necessarily, because just because you're unified doesn't mean you always have the same opinions as someone else. Look, just because that you're unified, it doesn't mean that you don't sometimes think that the other person's way of doing things is wrong. You're not always going to agree with everyone on how they do things. You're not. But you can still be unified even with that being there. Why? Well, because your goal is not my will to be done. Your goal is God's will to be done. So what you do is you remove I from the equation, and you literally are willing to die to yourself, and you follow Jesus together. Unity. Oh, for example, now I know you may find this kind of hard to believe, but I'm going to tell you, this is actually true. Sometimes me and Sharon don't agree. I know that this is a shocker to some of you. I mean, how can a woman of such wisdom look at the logic and the intelligence of me and in her mind think that I'm wrong? I had the same reaction. I thought it was funny. I chuckled. But no, I'm not kidding. It actually has happened. She does not always agree with me. But look, we still have the ability to be unified even when we don't agree. We do. Why? Because our honest desire is not our will to be done, but God's will. Look, our goal as a body of believers is to point people to Jesus, not ourselves. So if your goal is not to be right, but for him to be right, because you can't save anyone, but he can save everyone, then you're willing to die to yourself. Yeah, and you know what the interesting thing is? God notices when you're selfless. He does. It's like an open door to the Holy Spirit to use you. It's like, this one's not going to steal my glory. This one's not going to touch something that's sacred. I can use them. I can move in power through them. You don't think God's moving in and through you? Check your motives. Are you more about your will or are you more about his will? All right, verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. I loved, just let me break a couple parts. It came suddenly. I love that. You know what that says to me? You gotta be ready. You gotta be ready. Look, you do not have time to sin. You don't. Look, there are some people that I've met that in their life, well, I'll have time to get it right with God. I got time, you know? They think that they can just kind of play in sinful things and then later get their life right with God. You can't do that. You can't. You have no idea when the power of the Holy Spirit is going to need your availability. You have no idea when a situation is going to come up where God needs to use you now, but you've disqualified yourself and you're not available. You're going to stand before God and he's going to say, look, I needed you then. I needed you to be the hands and feet of me, but you were not available because you had to be playing in pornography. You had to be really drinking. You really had to be doing those things. I needed you. You weren't ready. I also love the fact that it was loud and it filled the house. It was loud. You know what that means to me? It couldn't be ignored. Couldn't. It couldn't be avoided. If you were in the house, it impacted you. You felt it. Look, it either changed you, it annoyed you, or you left. And you know what? As I am praying, that's what God does here. I am praying the power of the Holy Spirit comes in such strength and power that it's going to do that to you. Where it either will cause you to change or you'll be so annoyed that you leave. Pastor, you want people to leave? Yeah, I do. Pastor, I thought you loved us. I do. I do. My hope is that you embrace change, that you say, Holy Spirit, I want so much of you that you can change and touch anything in my life. Nothing is you know, sacred. You can do anything you want in my life, anything. Look, I don't want just a little move where it's just annoying. I want fire alarm, everything going off in the house where it is impossible for you to sleep because you have flashing lights and sounds and things and you're just like, I can't stay here. I can't. This is just too much. I want you to change. I want you to grow. I want you to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit says. Anything. Look, my prayer is 2019, the power comes to a point where you can't ignore it. I don't care what happens in your life as long as you are up and you're doing something different. If you're doing the same thing in 2019 that you did in 18 and 17 and 16 and 15, then there's a problem. Flags should be going up. Alarms should be going off. I want it loud and I want it to fill the whole house. Verse 3, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I love the fact that every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone. It was not an exclusive gift. Everyone got filled. Look, when you live your life according to the will of God, if you are saying, I surrender all to you, God, what you're saying is, I'm a candidate. I have the ability to receive the gift that God has for me. No one should be excluded from this. No one. God is just looking for willing vessels who say, not my will, but yours be done. If you have that, then you are ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You are. And look, I love the fact the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other tongues. See, the Holy Spirit didn't take control of them. Didn't cause their mouth to move. Look, the Holy Spirit does not move that way. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do it. As a matter of fact, other versions of the Bible say enabled or prompted. I can promise you, whatever the version, it does not use the word controlled. It doesn't. Matter of fact, for example, a baby does not have the ability to speak. Doesn't. I mean, look, I've been around babies. They babble, they laugh, they cry. I mean, you hear some weird stuff coming out of babies sometimes. But I can tell you this, they couldn't talk to you even if they wanted to. They can't. Why? Because they don't have the ability to do it yet. Now, once they have the ability to speak, they can speak when they want to. They can choose to speak or they can choose not to. Trust me, parents of teenagers, have you ever tried to sometimes make your children speak to you? How well did that go? Sometimes it don't work, does it? Well, it's the same thing with us and the Holy Spirit. He enables us to speak. We have to actually step out and do it. See, people often expect the Holy Spirit to kind of like, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to get like really quiet. I'll kind of like make my mouth loose. All right, go for it. It doesn't work that way. He enables you to do it. You know what? You have to, in faith, step out and do it. He will not make you speak. Just like in the same way when you lie, he doesn't like zap you or stop you. Like, you know, like the spiritual hand comes down and slaps your face. You can choose to lie, but you can also choose to speak another tongue. All right, verse 5. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Who is it saying? It got their attention. And you know what? It should. Look, when the Holy Spirit, it was given to us to what? Be his witnesses. When we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we should stand out. Matter of fact, we should be very different than where we used to be. People should see a change in you. They should see you different in how you talk, different in how you act. Your attitude should be different. Unexplainable things should happen when the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You may speak in languages that you don't understand. That should happen. And why? So people take notice. It's to be witnesses. Look, the truth is, if people have not seen a change in you, has there been a transformation? Look, for those of you who were not, I guess you'd say, saved, I hate using that word, from when you were like, you know, born, if God transformed your life later in life, if people didn't see a change, if people would have been like, whoa, you're different. Something's different with you. If that hasn't happened, has it really happened? Look, you are either transformed or you are conforming to the world. If you are conforming, they won't see a difference. But if you're transformed, people are going to be like, you never did that before. Look, whenever the boss said those things, you got really mad. You used to come in late all the time. You used to always try to leave early. You used to try to do these things all the time. If there's no difference being seen, is there a difference? No, there isn't. Verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed. How many were amazed? Everybody. They should see a difference. Saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mockingly said, they are filled with new wine. So you know what that tells me? Not everyone's going to understand. They should notice it, but they may not understand it. Have you noticed that when people don't understand certain things, one of a common, I guess you'd say almost like defense mechanism is they make a joke about it? Have you noticed that? They kind of laugh about it. So should it shock us that when they see something miraculous of people literally speaking in languages that they had no shot of understanding, that some people would make a joke about it? Oh, they must be drunk. That's literally what happened. See, not when, I mean, not if, but when the Holy Spirit becomes alive inside of you, you should expect miraculous things to happen. You should expect them. It should be the norm. And when it happens, that's when you're pointing people to Jesus. That's when you're saying, hey, there's something different inside. Yes, you've seen it. You recognized it. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's Jesus. I want you to really begin to think about in your life where you're at. If it's at work, if it's at school, wherever God has placed you, have people noticed something different? If the answer is no, has there been life change? Has God really captured your heart? Are you really open to the power of the Holy Spirit using you? Are you really open to letting the power of the Holy Spirit change those that are around you? There has to be a difference. Let's see what Peter does. Because remember, this is all happening. So let's read continuing in 14. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens from above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, that's the Holy Spirit will provide opportunities. The question is, will you be ready? And will you be willing and open to him using you? I mean, we see how Peter dealt with it, right? What does he do? He sees people who are shocked. Something weird's going on here. And you know what he does? He says, all right. He stands up and says, all right, let's address it. Let's take it one by one. What do you do? What do you do in your life when people notice a difference? Well, I'm just kind of a nice guy. Or, I'm introverted. I wouldn't even know what the right thing to say. Peter stands up and allows the Holy Spirit to guide his heart and his mind, and he speaks the truth. See, it doesn't mean that every single person who heard this message will be saved. But the interesting thing is, what does happen? It's verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Because one man was willing to allow the Holy Spirit to speak in and through him, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. Look, you can't judge the effectiveness of what you're doing by numbers. You can't. But I can tell you this, numbers count. They do. Numbers will increase your faith. It will stretch you. As you see God begin to transform lives, but what I'm telling you is that you can't let numbers discourage you either, because you don't know if you're the one who sows seeds or if you're the one that sees the harvest. That's not your job. That's God's job. Your job is obedience. Your job is willingness. Your job is to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you to do what he's asked you to do. Verse 42. and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having found favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. So let's break down, as I kind of close, the list of behaviors that people saw in all the disciples when they had the power of the Holy Spirit moving in their life. Let's just look at the list. Because look, this basically was how people saw a transformation. Because what they're saying was these are behaviors that aren't normal. These are behaviors that have a cost. These are behaviors that you will have to change your schedule in order to do. I can tell you this, that the world that we currently live in, they don't fit. They won't work well. You will look at them and say, Pastor, these are extreme. It's not possible for me to do these. You're going to say that. But what I'm telling you is, when God is the most important thing in your life, you'll find a way. You will. Because what you'll see is daily God adding to his kingdom. Daily. Now, what's more important? Extra dollar or extra souls? What's more important? I'm really better at this activity, or more people are going to heaven? You're right. I'm not pulling any punches this morning. So let's go to the list. Number one, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What that means is they were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry. Nothing stopped them from feeding on the word of God. No one ever had to say to them, get up and read the word. Nope, they were in it. They fellowshiped together. You know what that means? They hung out together. They were a family. They were always together. Matter of fact, it says they ate a lot together. Together. As family. This isn't just, like the Mallet family. This was the family of God. They came together. That was common practice. Prayer was a lifestyle. There was no easy button. It was to commune and have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, it says, extra possessions were given and sold and then brought to a common place, to them was the church, where any need was taken care of. They did that before the needs. They literally brought extra, sold it, and so at any point a need came up, oh, you have a need? Here. You have a need? Here. It was already there. So they knew what extra was. It wasn't for vacation funds and extra things. It was to take care of the needs of the body. Pastor, that's socialism. No, that's actually what the Bible says. Sorry. Went to church together every day. Every day they went to church. Forget an hour and a half on Sunday. They literally went to church every day. They were more interested in God's kingdom than any other kingdom. They weren't trying to advance careers. They weren't trying to, I'm doing this to make my son and daughter smarter or more acclimated to the world, or, I want to make sure that they get ahead in life. They knew that the highest priority was to fill the kingdom of God with souls. And that was shown in how they lived their life. I'm telling you. Sometimes it's you're pulling people. No, you should, come to church and small group. Pastor, that's two nights a week. Are you kidding me? They did it every day. And to them, they ran to it. It wasn't like a chore. This wasn't work. They were excited, and they couldn't wait to get together. They were thankful to God and generous with each other. Now, you got to remember, these behaviors were so extreme. And like I said, I told you these look extreme. If you did this today, would that be considered extreme? They would. People would notice it though, right? You went to church 5 days in a row? Are you nuts? How did you do that? Why wouldn't I? I mean, God's there. His presence was there. The family was there. Why wouldn't I do that? Look, people will notice a change. like I asked you before, have people noticed a change? If the answer is no, they haven't noticed a change, that means there hasn't been a big enough change in your life to actually cause people to ask you the question of, is there a change? Are you getting this? You have to change your life so radically that it causes people to look and say, you're different. What is different about you? Wake up. Hello. I don't want blank stares. I know I'm getting passionate. But if God has not transformed your life in a way where you are willing to make changes that literally revolutionize who you are and how you live your life, are you living life just for you or your family unit, or are you living your life for God where you want His kingdom to become enlarged? I do not want FCA to be just a social club where we come for an hour and a half or 2 hours on a Sunday and that's it. Oh no, the radical ones may join a small group. That's not what I want. I want people whose lives are so transformed that people can't notice. You can't notice the difference. There's something different in you. Why do you behave that way? Look, I will not have to ask you to come to church on time. I won't. I won't have to ask you to come to church on time. You will not only will you be on time, you'll be early. Well, I have to ask if look, truth is, we haven't had any family prayer in 2019. You know how many people have asked me about that? One. My son. That's it. Shame on us. Where we've gotten to the point where family prayer time that we had once a month, maybe pastor will start it up again. Change our hearts. Make us hungry for His presence. Make us hungry where we want so much more of Him. Look, I'm not going to have to tell you about tithing and offering. Because when you have extra, you know that it's not for you, it's God's. And so you're going to just go to God and say, what do you want done with it? It's not mine, it's yours, God, so whatever you want. You just do it. So I'm not going to have to worry about, when, we have needs in the church, because I'm going to have a fund that's already there for benevolence and say, oh, well, you need, all right, well, here, taken care of. Look, small groups will just start springing up. I'm not going to have to, say, well, we need more host homes for small groups. I need more small group leaders, because that's just going to start happening because you hang out together. You love each other. There's relationship that's happening. It just is organic because, you know what? I like you, or at least God has said, become friends with you. And you know what? I'm going to change my schedule and do it. I'm not going to have to worry about that. It's just going to happen. I mean, look. Sharing your faith is just going to be a natural extension of who you are. You know what the visitors will be here? The visitors are going to be people who you've saved. You've already introduced them to Jesus. It's your coworkers. It's your fellow students. It's your neighbors. And so when visitors come, they're not going to be coming by themselves where they're like, well, I wonder who this person is. You're going to introduce me. You're going to say, this is my neighbor, Bob and Sally. And you know what? They would like to, they would like to meet you, Pastor. That's who the visitors are going to be, because you live such transformed lives that people see differences in you. Look, the reality is we're not there. I'm not there. I'm not. But you know what I'm saying in my prayer times now? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Change my heart. Because you know what? Every part of the flesh of Chris Mallett does not want to do that. He doesn't want to change. He doesn't want more friends. He doesn't want more stuff. He just wants to be alone and kind of do what he feels like. But you know what? Tough flesh. My dad used to preach about it. Die, flesh, die. It's time for it to be crucified with Christ. I leave that cross up there, so every time I walk in that sanctuary, it's not a remembrance really of what Jesus is doing. It's a remembrance for me of what I need to be doing on a daily basis. So when I walk in through the sanctuary, every day that I come to work, I see it there. And what I'm thinking is, die, flesh, die. Because I need to die so there's more of Christ in me, that people can see Jesus in me and they'll want it. I'm telling you, if it's authentic Jesus inside you, it will change people's lives. They will ask you what the difference is. So I'm challenging you yet again as I end. Are people seeing a difference? if the answer is no, if it's I have not had anyone ever ask me, I'm telling you, I was at a restaurant and I'm literally talking with the waitress. She's just smiley and bubbly. And I finally had to say, you know, I had to throw out there that I was a pastor because I wanted to kind of talk. And she's like, yeah, I go to church. And you know, in the back of my mind was, I know you do. I knew it from the smile in her and the twinkle in her eye. I just knew that there was something different about her. Is that you? Do people see that inside you? If not, on your knees, grab a hold of God. Get everything you can. Say, Holy Spirit, change, burn, do whatever it takes. Loud, I want it. Fill in the whole house. No one is able to ignore. No one is able to avoid. That's what 2019, let us be different. Let us be different. We have baptismal service that I would love to have the last weekend in August. We have time to reach our family, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow students, our coworkers. You have time. Find them. Make time. Have coffee. Have breakfast. Have lunch. Have dinner. Invite them. Do whatever it takes. Put yourself around them and allow the Holy Spirit inside you to be powerful. Say, Holy Spirit, use me any way you want and be open and willing and watch what God does. We won't have to worry about inviting people to church. They're going to ask you, well, where are you going on Sunday? I'm going to be in a church. Are the people there like you? Yeah, I'm coming. I want to be there. Isn't it about time for that to happen in our lives? Don't you want that? Don't you want people to say, you know what? I just want to be around you. Well, why? I don't know. I just want to be around you. There's just something different inside you. Well, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because there is. And let me tell you about it. His name is Jesus. He'll rock your world. He will change your life. It won't be perfect. It'll still be tough. Matter of fact, it might even get a little harder, but he will be with you. And his love never fails. Matter of fact, nothing can separate you from his love. Don't you want that? Don't you want that just bubbling it up inside you to where nothing and no one can convince you otherwise? That's what you want. I'm not there. And pray for me because I'm going to get there. But join me in getting there. Let God transform FCA into a powerhouse that literally knocks the devil in the mouth. And we see just thousands of people come to salvation. Not for numbers, but for that number. Let that number grow. Don't go to heaven alone. Amen? I'm going to keep preaching. You better stand. I'm not going to keep going.